Kyla, when did your hillside journey begin? How did that all come to be?
So I came as a 16-year-old in 1997. My dad dragged our family from the northern beaches to the hills. And, so that was to pastor a church that had no pastor and was really struggling at the time. So that's how we ended up coming to Forestfield Community Church back at the time.
And obviously, I can't talk about your family without mentioning your dad, Pastor Richard McAllister, loved and well-known for many, many years, the senior pastor of our church. We wanted him to be here as well today. He was unavailable, but we have you. And I was just wondering, what are your highlights from your time here at Hillside?
Many highlights, but probably the biggest ones would be the trips we used to do. So we did lots of missions trips, and we did Planet Shakers on a 40-hour journey bus. That's our India trip back in 2005. We led a team there. Darren, who's at the middle back, and I were the youth pastors then, so we led a team, which was awesome, with Ian Campbell. And then Northwest trips, we used to send mission trips up to the Northwest and go on a bus driven by Jared Hendry's dad, Rob, and that's our Broome trip. There's Lance and Sue Ellen there looking mighty fine. So, yeah, they're probably all my highlights, just the trips we did, and that's our India. It says China, but it's actually India. Yeah, so there's my dad. He led the team with James Goss. Baptisms. Love doing baptisms with Chrissy there. And I think it's Shona that we're baptising. Yeah.
And you obviously had some personal moments at this church as well.
We got married in this church. Yes, so that was always fun. And dedicated. Yeah, I think that's Isaac. Dedicated Isaac eight years ago. So, yeah.
So, Kyla, a long and rich history in your own right here. What are you up to now?
Now I'm working as... I've gone back to the school working as a chaplain counsellor there a couple of days a week. And God's also seems to be opening up doors to minister in other churches, so that's been really fun. Been at Kalamunda, been at Langford Triple C. We did a course there with Dad, and 6-week course, and yeah, looking forward to what else God opens up in the future.
Awesome. Well, we are blessed to have you here on behalf of the McDonald family and the McAllister family.
Thank you.
We just honour you and your family for all the years and years that you have sown and continue to sow into our church. And I know you've got just an incredible word for us this morning. So why don't we just once again welcome Pastor Kyla.
Thanks, Craig. Well, it's good to be here. I must say I'm not sure I agree with the circumstances of which I've come. Pastor Kerry rang me up a few months ago and said, oh, we're inviting back all the old pastors. Will you come? And I was like, well, I'm not that old. I'm not even 40 yet, Kerry, but yes, I'll come. And as an old pastor today, it's a privilege to be able to share with you a word that God's placed in my heart. So today I want to share stepping into the new. So I know we're looking back and remembering the old, but my message today is about the new, stepping into the new. And it was really exciting because I came into the prayer meeting with the last 5 minutes to go, and as I came in, Jared Hendry just began to prophesy exactly the message that God put on my heart today. So I was so encouraged. I was like hitting Craig going, did you tell him what I was speaking on? And he's like, no, I've not said a word. He's actually been away. So I really know it's a word that the Lord wants to bring today and encourage you all with. The verse I want to look at today is Luke chapter 5, verse 37 to 39. We're going to look at that briefly, and then we're going to move across into Isaiah. But Luke 5 says, and no one pours new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the new wine will burst the skins. And Jared's laughing because this is what he prayed. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for they say the old is better. Now, last time I came in March, and God gave me a dream. And in my dream, I was at Hillside, and I was up the front, and I started prophesying. And the word that I gave was, God was realigning Hillside. He was rearranging, he was shifting, he was shaking. He was sorting to bring you into a new place, into a fresh place. And when I shared that with Pastor Kerry, his eyes nearly popped out of his head because he said, oh my goodness, I've just been speaking to the elders literally the night before about all of this and what we sense God's doing. And then so from this came this verse. And to give some context to it, Jesus was referring here to the new kingdom, the new covenant. But new wine is also symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And prophetically, it represents change. It represents new seasons and blessing, something fresh. It represents new joy. And new wine was produced under pressure. The process back then was they would get it. If we go to the next slide, I think I've got a picture there. They would crush it and press it under their feet, then put it through a wine press and out would come the new wine. And I sense God is saying, even to the wider body of Christ at this time, is I want to pour out something new, something fresh. See, sometimes in life we can become stagnant or stuck or maybe just worn out. But I really see him bringing new dreams and fresh expectancy and fresh hope, fresh vision to this place. However, new wine needs new wineskins. And for wineskins to be new, they would go through a process of being renewed. And wineskins were actually goat skins sewn together. And they were sealed. And once they had become old and used, they couldn't contain the new wine because they would become hardened and inflexible and dry and cracked. And so when the new wine would be poured in, the new wine would expand as it fermented and the wineskins would burst because it couldn't stretch or be flexible with the new wine. And so the old wineskins weren't thrown out, they were actually renewed to contain the new wine. And it would need to go through a process of becoming new, which would involve soaking it in the water and rubbing it and pressing it with oil as it got out the cracks and the hardness and the dryness. And wineskins represents us. It represents our mindsets, our hearts. And likewise, before we step into the new and receive the new wine, he always does a new thing in us as he makes us into new wineskins. And so the Holy Spirit does a process through us as he renews us. Romans 12:2 says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And like the water, that represents the word. As we're soaked in the word of God and we're renewed by the word of God and we're changed by the word of God and we're softened by the word of God. And then he gets the oil, the Holy Spirit, and he rubs it over and pours it over us to make us soft and flexible and fresh in order to stretch with the new that he's wanting to pour out. So this requires change. When God wants to do something new, it requires change. And we can be excited about change, but really change can be quite hard. It can be uncomfortable as things are shifted and rearranged and confronted, things that we didn't want to be rearranged, sometimes get rearranged and shifted and realigned. And so if that's been happening, if things have been coming up or being confronted or things have been shaken in your life, get excited because it's God's up to something new and something fresh in your hearts. Now this concept or foretelling of it, of the new wine, is not new. It was actually prophesied about in the Old Testament, and this is where I want to look today. In Isaiah 43, God, through the prophet, declares that God's going to do a new thing. And so today I want to speak on stepping into the new, and we're going to look at Isaiah 43 for keys to stepping into the new, but also becoming new wineskins that can carry the new wine that God's pouring out. So let's read together Isaiah 43. I'm going to look at verse 16 and then jump to 18. So this is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the seas, that sounds familiar. I think we've been singing about that today. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And I believe this is a real word for the church today, that God is up to something new. He's already been doing something, but it's part of his doing a new wineskin in us as we let go of old wineskins and receive the new that he wants to bring. So the context for this passage is that God is speaking to the Jewish people. They were currently captive to the Babylonians and they were in a bit of a mess. Prior to that, in 587 BC, Jerusalem and the temple had been destroyed. God seemed distant and the Israelites had rebelled. Yet God was saying, hey, because I love you, because you are mine, I'm coming to you and declaring hope, declaring a new thing. And God is encouraging them in this moment of despair and despondency to look forward in hope and expectancy, for he was going to make a way in the wilderness and he was going to rescue them from their captivity in order to bring them to a new season. But the new thing also foretold of the Messiah, who would also usher in the new and the new covenant. This new thing was actually a prophetic theme throughout the whole Bible, and a theologian called Moltmann called it novum, which came from the Latin meaning new. And the new thing was this prophetic category that spoke of the new kingdom. It spoke of the new covenant, the new wine, the new commandment, the new creation, the new man. You get the picture. And eventually the new heavens and earth. And to qualify as the new, it had to be created anew. It wasn't an extension of the old. It wasn't. It didn't patch up the old like the parable of the new cloth and the new wine. It didn't emerge from the old. It made the old obsolete. It wasn't simply the old and new form. When God's talking about a new thing, he's talking about a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that the old is gone, the new has come. And God still wants to do a new thing in and through us that doesn't look like the old. It doesn't dismiss the old and it doesn't say the old was bad, but it doesn't look the same. Moulton says it's a surprising thing, the thing that could never have been expected, yet it transforms the people whom it touches. Now, this declaration of a new thing in Isaiah and the new thing in us, it wasn't a done deal. It wasn't automatic. It was an invitation, but it required a response. And to receive it, you had to embrace change. Now, today, my heart isn't to dismiss the old. It's to remember the old. It's to celebrate the old. It's to look back at God's faithfulness and remember all the amazing things that he's done. But it's also to declare a new thing today. So this year, the iconic Notre Dame in Paris burnt down. And why that was tragic, it was an amazing, everything pretty much burnt down, but the cross and the altar survived in the middle of that cathedral. And here was the opportunity to build something new. Yet they've decided to restore it back to the old because it's a monument and people like monuments. Luke says, people prefer the old. And Jesus invited the Pharisees and the early church to receive the new wine, yet they often struggled to receive the new God wanted to do and allow the Spirit to make them into new wineskins because they struggled to let go of the old. And it can be the same for us at times. In the same way we like monuments, our faith, lives and churches can sometimes become monuments where we get used to something and we want to preserve that because we like it to be comfortable and predictable. But if God was to shake up things today, how would we respond? If God was to say, hey, I actually want you to let go of this today, how would we respond? Are we willing to be a new wineskin that is flexible and is stretched and let's go of some things, or do we try and preserve that which we've always had? Last year, God called our family to leave Hillside, and I'd been here for 20 years, as you heard, and I'd been on staff for 14 years, and so this was a big deal. And I really struggled with the change of leaving my comfort zone, leaving my familiar place, but at the same time, curious and excited about the new that God had ahead. And God had made it very clear through prophetic words, through prayer, through wise counsel, that he was calling us out. into a new place. And so I just assumed that it would be smooth sailing, but it wasn't. And the door into ministry with the new church that we were going to that seemed wide open later shut, and it really threw me. It was like, Lord, what are you doing? Why would you make it so clear to go for it all to seem to shut? And it took me a while to realize, and God really spoke to me from the passage in Luke, that it wasn't about the next new thing as such. It was actually about God making me into a new wineskin. And that actually involved me letting go of some things. It involved some shaking. It involved some surrender. It involved confronting things, realigning, moving away from my comfortable place. And I'm not saying today that you must leave your place where God's called you. I'm not saying that. But what I realized was the journey that I thought it would look like, it didn't look like that, yet God was still working. And he was actually making me into a new wineskin so that I could carry the new wine that he was wanting to pour in. And then because those doors shut, other doors that I didn't expect began to open. And God's opened up other doors to minister in other places, which is exciting. And still praying about next steps, what God would have us to do. But we know that God is leading us, and he's always faithful to make a way where there seems no way. So today I want to look at some keys that Isaiah gives us of stepping into the new, but also allowing the Holy Spirit to make us into new wineskins that can carry the new work he's wanting to do in us. So the first I want to look at today is surrender. Verse 18 says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past." Now this is really interesting because if we go back a bit to verse 14 and 15, it talks about how God's going to deliver them from the Babylonians. And then in verse 16, he invites the people to remember what he did in the past, of how he made a way through the waters and he delivered them from the Egyptians. But in verse 18, he tells them to forget everything. He said, "Forget all that." Remember all of this. Now forget it all, because I'm going to do a new thing. Which is really strange. Did he forget what he was actually saying, or is he meaning something different? He wasn't saying forget the lessons of the past, but he was saying forget the formats in which they came. He wasn't saying forget God's faithfulness. He said, "Remember God's faithfulness. If God can do it then, when it seemed impossible, God can do it now, but it's not necessarily going to look the same way." And I think as people, we like to predict how God's going to work, and we like to box him in, and we like to limit, because it makes us feel secure and safe, because we like to know what's happening. We like to know what's next, but it doesn't necessarily require faith. And God is saying, "Hey, I want you to let go of the fixed mindsets that say this is how God's got to do it, and be open and flexible to how I want to do it." Yes, God made a way in the waters, but now he's going to make a way in the wilderness. He made dry land out of water, but now he's going to make water out of dry land. And it's learning to be in keeping step with the Spirit, be open and flexible. Rather than being experts of the old, be open to the new. And as we look back at Hillside's past, let's remember God's amazing faithfulness. There's some incredible things that he did. And let's celebrate those things. But at the same time, let's not allow the past to become a blockage or a limitation for what he wants to do now. The NLT puts verse 18 like this. He says, "But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do." See, God is a creator. And his character and his faithfulness, it never changes. But he loves to do new things, and he loves to do surprising things, things that we couldn't expect. So let's be open to what he wants to do. But at the same time, celebrate all that he's done. The second thing that they were to forget was to forget the pain of the past. See, Jerusalem and the temple had been destroyed. They were currently captive. They turned away from God. And they were probably carrying a lot of disappointments. They were probably carrying a lot of pain, regrets and failures. Yet God was saying, "Hey, I want you to let go of those things. It's time to let go of the pain of the past, because I want to do something new, something fresh. I want to birth in you new hope, fresh vision." And it's the same for us. Things happen. Things don't go according to plan. Things that we thought would happen don't, and things that we thought wouldn't happen sometimes do. And if we dwell on those things and we camp around our disappointments and our pains and our offences, we can be stuck in the mud, so to speak, and we can't move forward. But I feel like the invitation today is, hey, is the things that you need to let go of today, that the Holy Spirit's just inviting you to lay them down at his feet, to surrender those things, to let go of old wineskins, old mindsets, the cracks, the wounds, whatever it is, let go of those things so that we can be made into a new wineskin. And the other thing that we can sometimes be stuck in is the good old days. So they were remembering the deliverance that God did in Egypt, but they can be stuck there when God wants to do a new deliverance. And it's so good to remember, as I said, and celebrate, but let's not camp there. Otherwise, we can miss what God wants to do now. And the other thing I felt to say is we may think that our glory days, our best days are behind us. Can I say that they're not? Can I say that, yes, the season may be different. Yes, your capabilities may be different. Your capacities may be different. But let's have a heart of Caleb, who at 80 was still open to the new and said, God, give me this hill country to conquer. There's some hills to conquer for some people that think their glory days are done. They're not done. And God's got something new and new wine, and he's making you into new wineskins. Yes, there's still new things to be learned and old things to let go of. Recently, I received all these new clothes from my family. I think they feel sorry for me and that I need to, you know, spice up my outfits. And so they give me all their new clothes. Instead of going to the op shops, I get them. But the problem was I had so many clothes, I had nowhere to put my new clothes. And so I had to go through my wardrobe and begin to let go of some old clothes, bag up some old things. And it was really hard because I love to hold on to things in case one day, 20 years later, they might come back in fashion. And then I've got that outfit and I can say, look, or one day, I don't know, I might change my mind and that thing I hate, I might like later. Or I might, you know, put on weight, or I might lose weight. And I'm holding on to so many things. But can I say that some of your clothes in your wardrobe that you wore in the 70s and 80s that actually don't fit in this season, and it's time to bag up some things and let go to make room for the new. Some of you can't fit new clothes in your wardrobe or new things the Lord wants to do because you're holding on to too many old things. And it's time. The Lord spoke to me through this wardrobe illustration, and he said, I want my people to learn to let go of some things to make room for the new. What are some things that we need to let go of? The thing is, our focus needs to be ahead, not behind. The old wasn't bad. The things necessarily weren't wrong, but they simply don't fit in this season. And we can't drive forward by looking in the rearview mirror. I've tried and it doesn't work. You get into a lot of trouble. Philippians 3:13 says, forget the things that are behind and reach forward to the things that are ahead. Again, he's not saying forget God's faithfulness. He's not saying have memories. He's just saying don't be stuck in the past. Let's move ahead. Let's honour what's been, but God's releasing something new. What is the Lord asking you to let go of or surrender today? There might be some fixed mindsets, some old wineskins. There might be some fixed agendas. There might be some hurts and offences that you've been carrying for too long. There might be some disappointments or regrets. If only I had done that. The thing is, the past is the past. It's time to lay it at his feet. He's a good God. He can handle it. And let it go. Trust him with it and receive the new. Because the Lord spoke to me as I began to think about this surrender. He said, Kyla, it's in the surrender that you can see. It's in the letting go that we can see the new. And the next point I have is to see. Verse 19 says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And to perceive something means to notice something using one's senses. It means to discern and it means to know. In Isaiah 43, things looked a mess for the Israelites. They were in captivity and their future did not look bright. But they were in the wilderness, and in the wilderness they could only see the here and now. They couldn't see what was ahead. It was like what was ahead was blinded and was foggy and was unclear. Yet God saw it completely different. And he was inviting the Israelites to shift their focus from the situation and the problems, the obstacles, to the promise, to Jesus himself, to the Father that is the way maker, that is the promise maker. And it was interesting, like when I was in worship, the Lord reminded me of the story in 2 Kings 6 when the army was against Elisha. Elisha kept telling the Israelites the battle plan, and the king, the army got really annoyed, so they were going to send out this army to defeat Elisha. And the next day the servant wakes up and he's fearful because all he can see is this whole army of enemy, and he's freaking out. And Elisha says, hey, no, you're not seeing correctly, you're not seeing right, open up your eyes. And if you would open up your eyes to spiritually see, you would actually see that the people with us, the angels with us, the chariots with us are far more greater and far more numerous than the enemy against us. If only we would have eyes to see. In the natural, things sometimes look a bit of a mess. But God is inviting us today to see with his eyes, to see with fresh eyes, to see with eyes of faith, to have a different spirit like Caleb and I think it's Joshua had. Yeah, Caleb and Joshua, they saw things differently because they had a different spirit. And God is inviting us today, let's see with eyes of faith. Sometimes we can miss what God's doing because it doesn't look like we expected it. The Pharisees, they missed Jesus because he didn't look like they expected. And so God is wanting us to open up our eyes to see with his eyes today and to have some things shifted. We can keep going. I had an illustration. You can probably have a quick look, see if you can see the young lady and then the old lady. Can you see the old lady? Yeah, you see the young. It's interesting, what we focus on is what we see, and sometimes we need to have our perspective shifted, and that's part of becoming a new wineskin, is allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us by the renewing of our mind. Sometimes we don't know what he's doing or what we're seeing, but we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The last point is sing. I'm just trying to fly through this, I'm realizing time. So we'll go to the next one, sing. Isaiah 42, this is when God first declared to the Israelites, hey, I'm going to do a new thing. And verse 9 says, see the former things that have taken place and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. And then verse 10 is very interesting. He then tells the Israelites, now I want you to sing a new song. I've announced a new day and now I want you to sing about it. And this is both a prophetic promise and a command. He's saying that one day both the Jews and the Gentiles would sing praise to the Lord, but he's also telling the Israelites to now sing a new song, to sing a new song of hope, to sing a new song of faith, to sing a new song about the new day, because we know that praise brings breakthrough. Praise and worship shifts our focus from what we see to what God sees. And there's power as we declare and speak and sing what God has seen and saying. A lot of you know this story, but when we would decided to start a family, we had Isaac and everything was good, and then we wanted to have another one and we couldn't. And the doctors said to us, it's impossible for you to have any more children. The medical doctors saw it and they spoke and they said, there's no way that you can have any more. In fact, if you were to have another one, you'd probably lose it. But I knew that wasn't what God was saying or speaking, because we had numerous words that we would one day have more children. And God had given me a number. He said, you're going to have two more children. And one day I was praying about this and I said, Lord, it looks so impossible. I just don't know how to believe anymore. What do I do? And I felt him say, Kyla, I want you to imagine yourself holding your two babies and then begin to name them. And then begin to thank me as if you already have them. And so I saw myself holding a boy and a girl, and I named them Levi and I named them Grace. And I began to thank God for Levi, and I began to thank God for Grace. And you know, it was the next month that we had that breakthrough. And God was inviting us that day to sing the song that he was singing. It wasn't a name it and grab it song. It wasn't a presumptuous song. It was a song that he was singing over us. And he was inviting us to join in with him to sing the song that he was singing. What had the Israelites been singing? They'd been singing the grumble song. And we too can sing the grumble song, can't we? I know I can. You know, everything's bad, everything's doomed. What about me? It's not fair. And why was that a problem? Why was the grumbling a problem? It was because it was indicative of their unbelief. It actually was the unbelief song. And God wanted to turn that grumbling into praise. He wanted to turn that unbelief into faith. And he was inviting them that day, hey, sing the song that I'm singing over your situation. Sing about the new day. Speak what I'm speaking. See what I'm seeing. Because he wanted to lift their perspective from the problem to the promise. What song are you singing today? I believe the Lord is wanting to give new songs today. Songs of hope, songs of victory, songs of faith. To proclaim prophetic praise over situations. And to declare the new and the fresh the Lord's wanting to bring us into. So in conclusion, how do we step into the new? How do we receive the new wine? See, Joshua, when he was called to come into the promised land, he was called to enter and to occupy. And to enter meant to actually step into. It was an active participation. It wasn't a passive response where God said, I'll just wait for it to happen. Or it wasn't, oh, I'll see what the new is and see if I like it. And if I like it, then I will receive it. It was actually, no, I want to step into all that God's saying by faith. And I want to embrace the change that God is wanting to do in me. So how do we step or enter the new? It involves surrendering. Forgetting the former things, letting go of some things to make room for the new. It involves seeing, because it's in the surrender that we see, and that involves renewing our minds so that we begin to see what he's seen, and we see with a different spirit like Joshua and Caleb had. It's about him opening up our eyes like he did to Elisha's servant to see what he's doing so that we can prophetically pick up and perceive before it springs up and begin to speak into that and sing over that. And lastly, sing what he's singing. But Joshua was not only told to enter, he was told to occupy. Why? Because there were still giants in the land. There's still opposition. And just because God says, I want to do a new thing, it doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean that it's opposition free. I remember when when God spoke to my mum and said, hey, I'm bringing your family into a new season. This was before that we had Grace and Levi, and it was partly to do with that. And but God said, I want you to beware of the ants. I want you to beware of the ants. And she's like, what the heck are ants? What's that got to do with new things? And God said, against new things. That sometimes things come against the new thing that God wanting to bring, and the enemy comes to try and detour or distract or discourage. But God says, hey, I'm making a way in the wilderness. I'm making waters in the wasteland. Don't be discouraged or distracted by what you see or by that which comes against you or the resistance that's in you, but keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. We may not know how he's going to do it, how he's going to make a way, but we just need to know that he will make a way and be willing to step into that path he's making by faith. Then people will know it's the Lord that's done it. We're going to I want to play a song. The song is called New Wine. And as we do that, I'm going to just ask you, just to ask the Lord, Lord, is there things that I need to let go of this morning to make way for the new? Is there things that you want to do to make me into a new wineskin? Is there some disappointments or offences or things people I need to forgive? Have I been looking at things in the natural but not seeing with your eyes? Lord, would you give me your eyes today? And Lord, what song have I been singing? Have I been singing the grumble song? Would you give me the song of victory, of praise today? Would you give me a new song today? As I was praying about today, I kept hearing, it's time to dream again. I want to put new dreams inside you and breathe new life on some long-forgotten dreams that you've pushed aside. I have new plans and new things ahead. I want to put fresh hope, anticipation, and excitement in you for the future. See, Israel had really stopped dreaming. They were stuck in their captivity outwardly, but inwardly they were also stuck. They had lost hope, and by God coming to them and saying, I'm going to bring something new, with that he was bringing a promise of fresh hope and permission to dream again. To not dream anymore means we become stuck and dry. But I see God pouring out fresh anointing on people today to awaken their hearts once again, to breathe fresh hope and purpose and vision in the people. You're never too old to dream. God says, in the last days, I shall pour out my spirit on all people. Your young men will have visions, and your old men will dream dreams. The other thing I really sensed was that there's some wineskins that maybe had become hardened or weary, cracked or dry. And I just saw the Holy Spirit beginning to pour out fresh oil and water upon weary hearts to renew you and to refresh you, to make you into new wineskins so that you would be soft and flexible to carry the new wine he was wanting to pour out in order not to have it for ourselves. See, wine is to be poured out to bless others, and that's the whole point. So as we're going to play this song through once, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to stand and sing it together, and I'm going to invite if anyone needs prayer to just spend some time with the Lord. Lord, is there things I need to put aside today to step into all that you have for me and to receive the new wine you want to pour out? You need new wine today. If you become weary, you need fresh oil, fresh fire. I just want you to raise your hands right now. Holy Spirit's here, and he wants to fill people afresh. I believe you're going to get fresh visions today, fresh dreams, fresh excitement and anticipation, fresh hope. Oh, Holy Spirit, right now, pour out your fresh oil, fresh fire, God, in this place. Father, would you just anoint people afresh? Father, would you soak us in the word? Would you pour out the oil of your Holy Spirit? God, where we've held on to things because we're afraid to let go. God, would we just let those things go and trust you anew today? God, even dreams that we've been holding on and we're afraid that we'd never see, God, would we just let it go today, Father, that we would trust you with those things in our heart? God, I just really believe that you're just the Lord saying, hey, let it go. It's because otherwise you're trying to do it in your own strength. But when you let it go, I can breathe on the things I want to breathe on, and I can restore and I can resurrect. So we need to let sometimes things die so that he can pour out his spirit to resurrect those things in his power and in his time and in his spirit. And Father, I just thank you for Hillside. Lord, I thank you for what has been. I thank you for the many miracles and the many things that you have done in this place. God, I thank you that your heart is so for this community, in this place, Lord, and we celebrate all that you've done. We celebrate that you made a way through the waters, but now you're saying, I want to make a way through the wilderness. I want to make waters out of wasteland. I want to refresh not only this people, but I want to refresh this community. I want to bring new wine into this community that they would see me. They would see who I am. They would see that I am the Lord of Lords. I'm God of Gods. Father, that we would proclaim your praise like you called the Israelites to do. God, I thank you that you're not finished with us yet, that our glory days aren't done. The best is still yet to come, Lord, that you've got new things in store for this house. Lord, new assignments, new mantles, Lord, new things. Lord, and God, I just pray where people have felt stuck or bogged, that Father, right now by your Spirit, you would begin to unstuck people, that your oil would just begin to unstuck, that in that realignment, like that, like a window that sometimes gets stuck, it needs to be realigned to go back on the track. I just see God just realigning some things so that he unstucks you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing. So, Father, we just pray a blessing over Hillside today. Lord, we just pray that new wine, pour in that new wine, make us new wineskins so that we could be flexible and soft to be able to carry the new you're pouring in. God, for this church as a whole and for individuals today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.